So my soul long and high. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We're thankful, Lord, O God, for your grace. It is sufficient. We know, God, that there is not a need in our lives that you are unaware of. And you know exactly what to do for every situation. So, Father, we come to you now with those needs, O God, that we know about and those that we know nothing about. We just rest in your grace, and we thank you, Lord, for your favor that is bestowed richly upon our lives. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord, for this new day. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you've bestowed upon this day. We thank you, Lord, O God, that we will not lack any good thing, because your grace is sufficient. Let your abiding grace cause us, O God, to flourish on every side, and no peace which passes all understanding. Thank you, Father, for your presence here and for the changes taking place in our lives for your glory. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for every one of you that have presented yourself before the Lord this evening. May the peace of God garrison all of our hearts and cause us all to flourish in righteousness and in truth. Before I present the word of the Lord this evening, I'd like to remind us once again, this being the first Sunday of the seventh month, about the word of the Lord to us concerning this month. I want you to cherish these words. Let it continue to feed you in your inner man. May it continue to spur you to understand that God is on your side, and if God be for you, who and what can be against you? Amen? So let us hear the word of the Lord to us, and let us embrace that word. Hallelujah. Somebody shout overflow. Say July is my month of overflow. May you be just doused with the overflow of God in every area of your life. God's blessings are always good. He says, I know the thoughts that I have concerning you, the good thoughts. It's not thoughts of evil, not thoughts that will harm you, but thoughts that will cause you to experience the goodness of God in every area. Amen? Praise God. The word the Lord has placed in my heart for us this evening is a word that we are very familiar with. We're living in times when we need to really focus on the provisions of God. Not the provisions based on what we know, but based on what He knows. Too many times we are overwhelmed by the circumstances that we face in life. Because our way of rationing things and rationalizing things is very physical, very natural. And so when God steps into an arena to do certain things, it's mind-boggling for us. We can't seem to grasp it. But He is God and not man. Let me say that again. He is God and not man. Let me say the third time. He is God and not man. There is a song that we sing about He being God and not a man. It goes something like this. You be God, you not be man, oh. You be God, you not be man, oh. Alpha, Omega, you be God. You be God, you be God, oh. You not be man, oh. You are God, you are not a man. You are God, you are not a man. Alpha, Omega, you are God. You We need to remind ourselves about that. That He is God and He is not man. Our Lord Jesus Christ, while He was on the earth, recognized that reality because He emptied Himself of His godness and depended solely on God to do the things that happened with Him. In John 14, He said, I'm not the one doing these miracles. It's the Father who is doing the works. He recognized that God was the answer. Now, I know that we can work hard, and we should not work hard, we should work blessed. But I know about the importance of working. The Word of God says, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And by the way, that is a good promise to take when you're unemployed. God, your word says, if I don't work, I shouldn't eat. I want to eat, so give me a job. Hallelujah. There's always a way to make the Word of God speak righteously towards you. And this reality of God being God causes us to come to a place where we become reliant on Him for help in every area of life. God knows your future. A few days ago, I was on Henderson Highway and I felt led to go to a restaurant there. I'd not been to that restaurant for, I don't know, 5-6 years. But I just went anyway. And they put me by the window. Most everybody was somewhere else. Doing all the other patrons were on a different wing, and I'm stuck by this window, and I'm going, okay. So I get my food, and I'm eating, and a fairly elderly lady, maybe in her, well, might be in her 40s, or even early 50s, comes in with this young boy, that's maybe about 9 or 10 years old, and they sit them in the same segment where I was, just ahead of me. I'm minding my business and eating, and the Lord speaks to me. He says, go tell that young man that he's going to be a lawyer. If he focuses his attention, his destiny is to be a lawyer. And I'm saying, oh God, I'm here to eat in a restaurant. Oh my Lord. So I kept on eating. Says, I said, go tell. Just about then, this lady begins to open an envelope. And I walk down there. And I say to the lady, may I speak to your son? She says, sure. So I proceed to tell this young man about what God was saying about him. The envelope that was being opened up was his result, his report card. And you will know it, some of the things that were in the report card were not very flattering. And God was going ahead to shut down the system so that this kid will not feel like he was a failure. God says, go tell him now. God knew about that life. The mother looks up at me, and the young man looks at me and says, "What is going on here?" So I go down and sit down, and the Lord says to me, "Go back, tell him to avoid bad friends, because their friends are going to try to pull him off of his destiny." So I went back. I said, "Can I talk to your son again?" She says, "Sure, go ahead." So I started talking to him and telling him about bad friends, what to do, how to avoid them, how to remember that he has a destiny and that he is going to accomplish much in his life, but he needs to fight for it. When bad friends come, I say, "You got a mom?" Say, "My mom doesn't want me to do that. I have to go home." Just go home. Find any excuse to separate yourself from that and just connect with your destiny. Remember this day. I said, "Do you understand?" And he said, "Yes, I get it." I said, "You're going to be a lawyer, right?" Well, God knew about him. I don't know him from Adam. I don't know the mother. I don't know this guy, this young man. But God knew what he has planned for him. But the remarkable thing about it is he kept on saying, "This is what I have for you, but don't go in this direction because you will thwart my plan and my purpose for you." The same thing is true for us. God has great things set apart for us. But we've got to do our part. God gave a promise to David. "Listen, you're going to always have a son on the throne. But your kids have to line up in proper order or the kingdom is going to be separated from you." God kept his part, but there is the part that they also had to keep. And the statement I'm making to us tonight is this. In the promises that God has given to us of his provision, what part are you playing in making certain that what God said will be manifested in your life? In the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, beginning to read from the 24th verse, we read these extraordinary words. The Lord says, "No man can serve two masters." You can't serve two masters. You know, in our present day, we might say, "Well, I don't know about that. I can do two jobs and have two bosses." But that's not exactly what he's talking about. He's saying you cannot have two people in control of your life. You're going to have to make a decision in life on who is in charge. Who is in control? Who is your leader? You cannot straddle this wall and put your foot on that side and on this side and think that while this thing is moving, you're going to be okay. You're going to have to make a decision. And God is calling every one of us to that place. That place of being decisive. I am going to live my life for God. I'm going to live as a Christian. I'm going to be a child of the Most High God. You cannot be the devil's child and God's child at the same time. You cannot desire to walk uprightly before God and flirt with sin. He says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." And I need to ask myself that question. Who do I love, God or mammon? God or stuff? God or materialism? God or the world and its system? We all have to ask ourselves that question. He says, you're going to either have to hate one and love the other, or you're going to hold steadfastly to one and ignore or despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Those are the two masters. I want you to notice it says you cannot serve God and mammon. It didn't say you cannot serve God and the devil. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. So there is something that is even greater than mammon. Or rather, greater than Satan. In the realm of the spirit, it is materialism. Stuff. The power to get stuff. Live your life for stuff. Say you cannot serve God and be pushing for stuff. But he's going to tell us what we need to do. He tells us, but if you pursue and you hold on, love God, hold steadfastly to him, you're not only going to get God, you're going to get the stuff. Because he's going to add it to you. But too many times we make the mistake of pursuing the wrong priorities. And tonight, I believe the word of God to us is, what are your priorities? How are you determining what is of utmost importance to you? Are you determining it based on materialism or the reality of God? Are you determining what's important based on what is most pleasurable to you? Or are you determining it by what is most pleasing to God? And what is most pleasing to God is our walk of faith, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. That is, you cannot serve God and mammon. Without faith, it's impossible for you to live a life that's going to glorify God. These are things that we must remind ourselves of. He says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat? Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? God, I got to eat. He says, but there's something more than eating. God, I got to clothe myself. And he says, there's something more than that. Huh. He says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You know, in that verse, the Lord Jesus Christ puts everything that we know on its head. Because we know the importance of sowing and reaping. He tells us, as time lasts and is, there will always be the time for sowing and reaping. And he says, listen, don't put the principles. I hope you get this point. Because if you don't get this point, then we've wasted the time. Don't put the principles above God. The principle of sowing and reaping. Listen. Yeah, you sow so you can reap. Yes, you do this, and yes, you do that. But I want you to know that what is most important is not all the principles. If I do this and I do that, then this will happen. That's not what's most important. What's most important is your connection with God. That's all he's saying. What's most important is that I care for you. Don't place your faith in the principles. Don't place your faith in, oh, I got to pray. If I don't pray, then this is not going to happen. He says, yes, all of that is important, but that is not the point. The point of praying, the point of fasting, the point of studying, the point of whatever is about you connecting with me. Don't make your prayer life your idol. Don't make the principles of the things of God your idol that you are focused on and you neglect a real relationship with God. You are just playing with the mechanics and not the reality. And unfortunately, most of our relationship with God is very mechanical. Very, very mechanical. It is almost robotic. You know, we feel good or feel bad based on our works. As if it's our works that will make things happen for us. God says, focus on knowing me. Focus on loving me. Focus on embracing me. Every other thing will fall in place. Every other thing is going to fall in place. He says, the birds, they don't worry about this stuff, but I take care of them, and you're better than them. If I take care of the birds, I take care of you. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? Do you know how you're growing? Do you have any idea? I saw one of my grandkids a few weeks. We had not seen them because they've been doing different things. When I saw him, I said, oh my, you're growing so much. During this pandemic, when a lot of our children were sometimes not in church, when we finally saw them, we saw how much they had grown. Wow. You've grown so much. Little kids, young girls, now becoming young women. How did this happen? Did somebody go and start chiseling their bodies to make them shaped like women? But we didn't do any of that. It just happened. It was natural. And what God is saying to us is, listen, I want your spiritual growth to be so natural. No sweat, no struggle. No struggle. You're not going to add a cubit to your stature by worrying about it. We worry about so many things. And some of the things we worry about seem very important, and God is saying, As important as that is, it's not important. Your priority is me. And I make everything else fall in place. That is very challenging for us. Because we think we've got to micromanage everything. And God is saying, hands off. I'm the pilot here. Chill. We're going to arrive at destination. Because if you keep on disturbing, you might get evicted from this plane. If you keep on going and disturbing the pilot trying to fly his plane, oh man, they're going to land somewhere and they're going to make sure you don't fly anymore. Well, we play all kinds of games in the name of, I got to be doing something. I got to do something. I got to do something. I cannot not be doing anything. I got to do something. God says, yes, what you need to do is have faith in God. That's your first thing. Have faith in God. And I'll tell you what to do after that. It goes on, it says, and why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Well, this is a message about work. You say they don't work. But I take care of them. But God doesn't God want us to work? Absolutely. He tells us if you don't work, don't eat. So what is the point? The point is we think it is by our hard work that we are going to be provided for. I got to have a better job, and I've got to have a better this, and I got to work two jobs, three jobs. And God says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, if I don't have another job, I will not be able to pay my bills. And God says, what are you doing? Can I give you one job? And that one job is more than enough. Today we have people working so many jobs. Father is working, mother is working, and they don't get to see each other. When one is at work, the other one is working. So children are being babysat and taken care of by somebody else, or by the television, or by the iPad, or something. Because we're busy, 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 busy. Busy doing all kinds of things. Now, it's understood. The reason we're working is so we can make more money, so that the tax man can get some more money, or whatever. Is God saying don't work? No, he's not saying that. He's saying, understand that I am your source. Don't make your job your provider. I am your provider. Because if you don't have that put in the proper order, you're going to start thinking, this job is what's providing for me. And when they ask you to jump, you're going to ask, how high? It doesn't matter what God's word says, what God's word teaches you. Going to do whatever it is that you got to do to get ahead in life. Huh? And that is the problem. It says, the lilies of the field, they don't toil. It says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. I take care of the lilies. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more, shall he not much more, shall he not much more, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Every one of us need to take this to heart. Is God going to provide for me? He says, yes. I'll provide for you. Do I need to work? Absolutely. Are there things I'm going to have to do? Sure, I'll show you what to do. But you've got to know that it is not that is providing for you. I am the one providing for you. I am the one meeting all of your needs according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm the God who is going to supply. I will add to you. I will minister to you. I know your need before you got there. I know I shared this a few days ago at one of our meetings, services, I'm not sure which one, but this is something that happened just a few days ago. I had gone to do a hospital visitation. Different individuals that are somehow, one way or the other, connected to the church, connected to this ministry, either through their children, or some were based on they used to attend here years ago, but have not been attending for years, and they had issues, and so I went to visit them. I finished, I was driving, and I ran into one of these potholes. This one was just the royalty of it. It's about 8 inches wide and about 3 feet long. So it was a perfect fit, and maybe about 4 or 5 inches deep. And I'm coming at 30, 40 clicks, because I just turned off Tache, and I ran right into it. Boom! Hard! I came out of it, I said, oh my alignment will be off, and I looked on my dash, and it showed me all my tires. Driver front is normal tire pressure. The rear, normal. Rear on the other side, passenger side, is okay. But the front tire is at zero. I said, oh my, I have a flat tire. I don't know how to fix nothing. I'm nowhere close to any place that will fix it. Now, what am I going to do? I parked the car, and just to my left, at the junction where I turned off to just get out of the way of traffic, a gentleman was walking with his son, comes across. The son is maybe about 3 years, maybe something like that. Old, comes by me and he's asking me, because by this time I had stepped out of the car to look and I saw that my tire was flat. He asked me, said, can I help you? Do you need help? I said, yeah, I need help, but I don't know what help you can offer me. The guy didn't listen to me. He just comes, looks at it, and he says, do you have a spare tire? I said, I don't know. He comes. He looks underneath my car. And sure enough, underneath the car, I didn't know you could have spare tires underneath your car, but there it was. So now he proceeded to, from my trunk, unhook this spare tire, gets it down, gets my jack, jacks the car up, and all this while, he will not let me touch a thing. He will not let me touch one thing. I don't know this guy. He just keeps on saying, "You're my father." I'm thinking, whose father? Where did we? How do I know you? He jacks up the car, fixes the tire. Actually, I still have the donut tire on my vehicle. It's going to be changed possibly on Tuesday. Fixes everything. And while he's there and I'm talking with him, he said, "I wasn't supposed to be here today. I was supposed to be at work." I said, "Wow." He said, "And I wasn't supposed to be out here because my wife will normally come pick up our daughters. He was coming to pick up the daughters. And the daughters got dropped, and amazing, 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 amazing experience. A neighbor takes his children. A neighbor say coming and takes his children, all three of them, the little boy and his two daughters, and takes them home while he was busy working on my car. And he was not supposed to be out there because it's the wife that will normally take care of that. But he's there ministering to me, making sure that I'm taken care of, making certain that I had no problem. Do you think God knew about that whole situation with the pothole before I got there? And do you think that whatever problem that you're facing in life, whatever challenges, that God knew about it before you got to that situation? So why do you and I spend so much time worrying and fretting and getting all mesmerized by circumstances and pulling our head off? What is the gain? What do we gain from worrying? Nothing. The reason we worry is because we do not recognize that God is not a man, but that he is God. And as God, he knows everything. He knew about that pothole, and he knew, hey, my son is going to come here. He's going to be driving, and he's going to hit this pothole. God, why didn't you make me miss the pothole? Because he wanted me to meet this man. God has a better agenda than you do. And sometimes his agenda doesn't fit with our agenda, but it is his agenda, and he knows what is most important, what needs to be done, how it needs to be done, what needs to happen, where it needs to happen, what is going to be the end of it. And I don't need to worry myself about any of that. Just live life. That's all God is saying. Live your life. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop, "Oh, am I going to this? Am I going to that? Am I? Stop it. Relax. Oh, if this thing doesn't happen at this time, oh, my whole life will be just a mess up. Oh, and then it didn't happen. Oh, my life is messed up." And then the next day, hey, you're on the other side of the problem. How did we get here? Because there's a God who is more concerned, who loves you more than you love you. He wants to provide for you more than you think. He has the answers. So stop worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Just stop worrying about that. For after all these things, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, where you're going to stay, all of that. After all these things, do the Gentiles seek? Gentiles are pagans, people who do not know God, who have no commonwealth relationship with God, people who are not covenanted with God. They worry about those things. They seek after those things. It says, however, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows you have need of it. He knows that you need the clothing. He knows that you need the drink. He knows that you need the food. He knows that you need the housing. He knows that you need the transportation. He knows, he knows, he knows, he knows. He knows that you have need of all these things. He says, but I tell you what you need to do. Seek ye first. Put your priorities right. Or yes, if you don't, you're going to work yourself so hard that you will not have any time to enjoy what you're working hard for. That's not a curse. That's an advice. You work so hard for the family that will reject you because you were not there for them. Never saw you, always working. You work out so hard for a marriage that falls apart because there was no time for each other. Maybe listening to me somewhere in the world right now. You can work yourself so hard that you become sick from all that hard work. God is calling you and I to working blessed, blessed, working blessed, not working hard, working blessed. Because you know that God is your source. God is your provider. When you understand that God is your source, you will live. You see, everything in life continues to thrive, continues to live when it is in its natural habitat. For you and I, our habitat is spiritual. If you take a fish that's meant to be in water, out of water, it will die. You take a plant that's meant to be anchored to the soil and you take it away from it, and you do not reconnect it and give it the nourishment that it needs, it will die. You cut a rose off from its source, it will die. Anything that you take away from its source dies. And when you and I allow ourselves to be cut off from our source, the only inevitable ending is death. Your greatest sin, the greatest sin of man, is being separated from God and God's purpose. He says, I want you to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Put the kingdom of God and the priorities of God front and center. And his righteousness. And all these things whatever it is, shall be added unto you. It will be added. You are not seeking it, but it's added. You are not worrying about it, it is added. You are not concerned about it, it was just added. If I spend time tonight to talk to you about God adding, your jaw will hit the floor. Because I didn't go looking for it. It found me. Your greatest move in this game board is your total reliance on God. And as you rely on God, He will keep on adding to you. He'll add the right people into your life. He'll bring finances into your life. He'll bring the right relationship into your life. So don't let anybody hear this. When you're seeking first the kingdom of God, don't let anybody tell you that you're wasting your time. You're never wasting your time when you're seeking God first and His kingdom. He knows how to add whatever else to you when you are not even looking for it. He knows. He knows every detail. And I want to encourage you today with those words. The Bible tells us in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, in John, all four Gospels state again and again about the feeding of the 5,000 hungry men. The disciples were looking from a natural base. There's so many people here. How are we going to take care of these people? And they've been listening to the word all this time. Jesus, we know you like preaching. but you've been preaching a long time now. And these people are hungry. They got to eat. Can you give them a break? If you really want to preach, they love you so much, they will come back. Huh? You just give them a break and send them home. Let them go find something to eat. You know, that's how the natural mind works. It wants to make you smarter and more caring than God. Jesus says, they don't need to go. What do we have? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on. What kind of a question is that? Even if we had almost nine months worth of wages, money, and we're even going to buy the food right now, it's not going to do much for them. So stop asking this question. But Andrew came and said, I think, you know, he was just trying to be a smart aleck. Well, some kid here has five loaves and two fishes. Ah. Great. Awesome. He must be kidding me. Did you hear what I said? I said five loaves, two fishes. Yeah. Sit them down in 50s. Okay. You're the boss. Hey, guys, form groups of 50 and sit down. And they were in a desert place. Grass grew right there. And they were so enthralled by the impossibility that they did not see the miraculous that was happening with them. It takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gives thanks for it. He blessed them, break the loaves, gave them to his disciples, and says, go share it. And they go and they share 5 loaves, 2 fishes, fed 5,000 hungry men, not counting the women and the children. And in society, from time past till this very moment, there's always at least 3 to 5 more. 3 to 5 to 1. When there's a gathering. So there could be 15,000 people here. There could be 20,000 people here. Not counting the children. Not counting the women. And they all get fed. Every single one of them. But this is how committed God is. Jesus, after everybody's been fed, he said, oh, by the way, collect the fragments, whatever it is that is left. And they get 12 baskets. And you want to say God doesn't know about your situation? And God cannot meet your needs far beyond anything that you dare ask or think? Think again. He is God. He's not a man. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, and everything in between. He's never started something that he did not finish. In fact, he finishes, then he starts. The provision is already there before he started talking to you about how he's going to do it. So be rest assured. Be at peace. Stop worrying. Be happy. Is that all right? Well, praise the Lord. Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we know that you are God. We've heard your words. We embrace them. And we say, Lord, let it be unto us according to thy word. Help us to love you, to embrace you, and despise everything else. Have our priorities in order. Every one of us as your people. The priorities of the kingdom. Lord, manifest your glory. Give us testimony after testimony that we may share with each other the provisions of God, the manifest provisions of God. You are Jehovah Jireh, the God who meets all of our needs according to your riches in glory. And those needs met are manifest for all to see. You love us more. You care more for us than the lilies and the grass of the field and the birds of the air. Provide for us. May we not be like Solomon, who thought that his needs were going to be met by the alliances that he made, and by so doing lost and hampered his relationship, his time, his connectivity with you. May we see that our greatest ally is you, our God, who's well able to address every need. Thank you, Lord, for this awareness. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you richly. May he continue to establish you in your going out and your coming in. May his peace garrison your heart. And may you know his favor all of your days. I would like the announcement to be restated real quickly so that we are aware of what is going to be happening. But while it is setting up, I want to be reminded of this. One, there is one leadership Bible study happening this Wednesday, but through the rest of the summer, and please come ahead and start honoring God with your giving. Through the summer, there's not going to be any Bible studies, just prayer meetings on Fridays. Sunday services, of course, stay the same. But no Bible studies for the rest of the summer. All right? And if you want to be baptized Sunday the 17th, after the morning service, is when we're going to be having a baptism. So plan on being. If you want to be baptized, please let Mama and I know so that we can make accommodation for that for you. Okay? That's July the 17th. That's two Sundays from now. We're going to have a baptism after the morning service. Okay, let's have the announcement.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by the words spoken and that God will continue to bless you throughout the week. Here is a quick recap of this week's announcements. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by the words spoken and that